When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you. Seeing the first vestiges of the sunrise happen out over the east. And this is perfect weather. So if you are heading out this morning, maybe grab a light jacket. But you heard the weather there. You're in for a good day. So one bit of good news. You can freely roam around the North Attleboro area without fear of being gored by a bull. The final bull has been captured. And peace and order have been restored in North Attleboro. So what I found interesting about this is that the North Attleboro Fire Department had been putting out updates about the search for this bull. And they made it a point yesterday to point out that there were no town resources being utilized to search for the last remaining bull. It was being done completely by the rodeo at first, and then later on, the Massachusetts State Police Air Wing Unit came in to help out. And to kind of give an aerial, a bird's eye view, if you will. A bull's eye view. No, wait, that's different. But they were helping and assisting the rodeo personnel in locating this final bull. So this wasn't something that ended up taking up a lot of, you know, town resources over the course of a couple of days. However, it still should have been a preventable situation. It still should have been something that never happened in the first place. I guess, you know, they had fencing around the rodeo area, but the bulls just went right through the fence. It wasn't enough. And not surprisingly, PETA has weighed in on the situation, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And as I said, you know, PETA gets a lot of flack for having some really radical marketing, some radical viewpoints in some cases, but most of the people that get involved in PETA are just folks who want to protect animals. And we had the bull that escaped in Raynham last month, and the bull, unfortunately, in that situation had to be taken out, and PETA came out with a billboard to honor that bull. The bull was destined for the slaughterhouse anyway. That's literally where he was being loaded up to be taken to when he escaped. So he was already going to be put down, but PETA held this, you know, put out this billboard on, I think it was on Route 24, to honor him, in their words. And so PETA put out a statement yesterday regarding the North Attleboro incident with the 8 escaped bulls. And this comes from PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Ryman. She said, we have seen it last year in Utah, this summer in Oregon, and now in Massachusetts. When bulls, who can be quite manageable and even gentle when not provoked, get the chance to escape being shocked with electric prods, wounded with sharp spurs, and slammed to the ground in rodeos, they take it as anyone else would. Rodeos put animal torment at center stage, and PETA urges people everywhere to stay away. Meanwhile, these bulls deserve to live. Well, they weren't trying to take out the bulls. Certainly the rodeo didn't want to lose their cash cow, pun completely intended, because that's what people come to a rodeo for, the bull riding. And bulls are not cheap. So I'm not surprised that, you know, they wanted to get these things back and wanted to get them back alive. But I can't speak to the conditions of a rodeo. I don't know how much it hurts the bull to be hit by spurs. I was always under the impression that a bull bucks when somebody gets on their back because they don't like having somebody on their back. It'd be like if you or I were standing around and a bug was crawling up our back, wouldn't we like squirm and fidget and try to knock it off? And I had mentioned to Sketty yesterday, you know, the 8 seconds. Because I was like, I'm pretty sure that's like the world record is 8 seconds. But I looked it up, and the 8 seconds comes from the fact that that's about all the time that a bull will buck for before it just gets tired and gives up and says, yeah, whatever, I've got somebody on my back. So I guess, you know, maybe it's not so painful for them. Maybe it's not so tormentous for them to have someone riding them. But again, I don't know. I don't know enough about bulls. Obviously yesterday, because it took me 2 hours to figure out that we already eat steer. But I think, too, that there's a tendency by PETA to be over the top in some of their statements and in the way that they approach some of this. I totally understand why circuses can no longer have animals performing in Massachusetts. I totally understand that, because so many of these small time operations were not treating the animals as well as they should. And I don't know why a rodeo doesn't fall under the same auspices, but I guess it doesn't. Secondly, though, by the same token, I don't know that Barnum and Bailey, Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey, needed to be banned from having animals. Now, they made the decision on their own to stop having animal shows in the wake of protests. But I used to know the elephant trainer for Ringling Brothers. He used to come into the diner where I worked. He had a summer place on the Cape. And he would come in and have breakfast. He was from England. His name was Steph. He was an awesome guy. He had great stories, and he was hilarious. And he would tell me stories about working with Gunther Gable Williams and all of the famous people that had come through the Ringling Brothers. And this was probably the late 90s, early 2000s that I knew him. And I would talk to him then about, well, you know, people say that the animals are abused in the circus and that it's not a good life for them. And he told me those elephants that were in the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus lived a better life than he did. And he would tell me about the kind of treatment that they got. You know, they had like luxury accommodations in their trailer for an elephant. I don't know how much of that is true. I don't know how much of that was just, you know, spin because he was the elephant trainer and His job depended on them keeping those elephants as part of the circus. But it seemed to me like he really loved the animals and cared about them. The people in the circus, yeah, he could have done without them. But he loved those elephants. So I don't know. I feel like they probably did it correctly. However, I also understand the need to eliminate that because so many didn't do it correctly. So many of them just mistreated the animals. And wasn't even if they abused the animals. They just didn't properly care for the animals. And some animals are just not intended to be performing in front of people. When you think about how crazy a circus is, we had lions in a room full of children. We had lions that people were like poking at with chairs and cracking whips around in the same room as lots of small children that would not have outrun a lion. So I guess we're probably better off without the animal portion of the circus. But I still, you know, I think a petting zoo, if those animals are well maintained, is a perfectly fine thing. That used to be my favorite part of the Brockton Fair and the Marshfield Fair every year was getting to see those animals up close, feeding the goats some hay. Laughing about how bad it smelled in there and seeing some things that, you know, you wouldn't normally see. Back in those days, you didn't see a llama everywhere. Now people have them in their backyards, but in those days, you know, they were rare. So it was good having those experiences growing up, but I also understand why, you know, they went away. And if that's the case, why was a rodeo still happening? And why was a rodeo happening in a parking lot? But I think that'll be a question for some town officials later on down the line now that this final bull has been captured. So all 8 bulls were captured safely, humanely. Nobody was hurt. They didn't take out any cars. So I guess all's well that ends well. And that's no bull. So we can talk more about that if you'd like. We can talk about some of the other big stories of the day. Yesterday, and we have the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But yesterday they had a groundbreaking for a new premier soccer complex that'll open in New Bedford. The former, well, at Diaz Field, the former home of the Greater New Bedford Youth Baseball League, which is no longer around. And it will be a place where some of the burgeoning soccer leagues in the city will be able to have a state-of-the-art facility. Now, there are people lamenting in the comment section about how, you know, why was this allowed to happen? You know, that was a historic baseball field. What happens if the league comes back? Where are they going to play? So Jack Spillane did a great job of chronicling this earlier in the year at newbedfordlight.org, chronicling what happened with the Greater New Bedford Baseball League, why this longtime league fell apart, and how soccer took over that area. But that league was not coming back. There was a great era where the city had 3 thriving youth baseball leagues. Youth baseball just isn't what it was. As kids have developed other interests, they have, you know, one of the things that really took away from baseball was the growth of lacrosse, but also there's hyper-specialization with young kids. And that's been something that in the youth sports world is a topic of great controversy, because if your kid really, really, really loves, say, football, and you want to give them opportunities all year round to play football, well, you know what? How about hockey? Hockey is something where, you know, they would find ways to play hockey the rest of the year. Football, you know, it's hard to find people playing football all year round. But hockey, certainly, you know, if you want to, you can play hockey year round. And so if that kid wants to be a really good hockey player, or that's what he's interested in the most, the parents just keep him in hockey and then put him in, you know, this hockey program and that hockey program so that they can keep playing all year round and keep getting better. Now, the good side to that is that they are honing their skills. They're really developing their game and they're becoming a better hockey player. But they also lose the cross-training aspect of playing other sports and becoming an all-around athlete. And so there are some experts who say you're actually hurting that child's development as an athlete by having them specialize in one sport, especially if the chances are very slim that that kid is ever going to go pro or even get a hockey scholarship. So are you holding them back then by keeping them into one sport? You know, back in the old days, this didn't happen. Probably when a lot of you who are listening now were growing up, you probably played football in the fall, basketball or hockey in the winter, baseball in the spring, and probably kept playing baseball in the summer. And there probably was a few of you that started to mix in, because soccer became really popular in the late 70s and through the 80s. So maybe some of you were soccer players instead of football players. Or maybe some of you, you know, were hockey players instead of basketball players. Maybe some of you were track athletes instead of baseball players in the spring, or softball players. But the bottom line is you weren't doing the same thing year round. I mean, I guess some track athletes probably did. They probably did cross country in the fall, and then winter indoor track and spring outdoor track. But for the most part, you had a cross-section and a cross-training amongst all those sports. But that landscape has changed, for sure. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Later on in the program, after the 8 o'clock news, we are going to be joined by Alice Hoffman. She is the author of the book Practical Magic that was made into the movie that every New Englander will probably sit down and watch at some point this upcoming October. Well, maybe not every New Englander. It's certainly, you know, I don't like to generalize amongst the genders, but it's definitely a film that women prefer. But she wrote the book that the movie was based on, and she has a new book called When We Flew Away, and it's a novel of Anne Frank before the diary. So Alice did some extensive research into the life of Anne Frank and wrote this novel, historical novel, about Anne Frank's life before she had to hide from the Nazis. And so she's going to join us to talk about that. It's a young adult novel. She's going to join us to talk about writing for different age groups. And we'll talk to her too about, you know, how we can keep education about the Holocaust going, even as the people who experienced it firsthand are passing away. So that'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I've got to take our first break. Oh, and of course, we will also have your Money Talks codes this morning. Starting at 8 a.m. and every hour through 5 p.m., we have 10 codes for you throughout the course of the day for you to enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app on the Money Talks page with the chance to win $30,000. Brought to you by Mirasol's Cafe in Dartmouth and now in Fairhaven. And I was a little disappointed yesterday, 10 o'clock code, We had our first person that entered the code into the app chat. And I can't even call you out by name because you put NA for your name on the app. But you put the code into the app chat. That's not how it works. You have to go into the Money Talks page and put it in the box for that hour's code. I know it's not as complicated as it sounds. And it's a little bit more work, but come on. You've got the chance to win $30,000. We can't make it that easy that you could just app chat us the number. All right, I've got to take a break here. We will be back in just a few moments. All right, and we will take your calls coming up at 508-996-0500. We'll also take app chat messages, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
President Biden prepares to address the United Nations, Donald Trump's would-be assassin, in his own words, and attention Kmart sharpers going, going, gone.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is in New York City today, where he will address the UN General Assembly. Scott Pringle reports.
This is one of Biden's last major speeches as president. He is expected to talk about the wars in Ukraine and Gaza and also talk about the future when it comes to the use of artificial intelligence and climate change. Meanwhile, Biden, while he's in New York, is hosting a summit to address synthetic drug threats. Biden's visit means more lane and street closures, and this could possibly be the worst day of traffic all week in Midtown Manhattan. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
The U.S. is sending additional forces to the Middle East. On Monday, the Pentagon said the move to send what was described as a small number of troops to the region is being made out of an abundance of caution. The decision comes as tensions continue to escalate between Israel and Iranian-backed Hezbollah forces. Lebanese officials said Israeli airstrikes on Monday killed nearly 500 people, including dozens of children. The suspect in an apparent assassination attempt on former President Trump at a Florida golf course is being denied bond. NBC's Jesse Kirsch with more.
Bottom line, the defense's request not met. The government's request was, and so Ryan Ruth will remain behind bars. That is according to a U.S. federal judge. Proceedings just wrapped up. As you mentioned, we were in there for right around 3 hours.
Ruth appeared Monday in a West Palm Beach federal court. The judge denied Ruth bond after hearing from federal prosecutors and the defense. Also, the Justice Department revealing new evidence in the alleged assassination attempt, including a letter written by Ruth. The letter was addressed to The World and said, quote, "This was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you." Clemency is denied for a Missouri death row inmate that's been in the headlines lately. Governor Mike Parson announced on Monday the state will move forward with the execution of Marcellus Williams. Williams is scheduled to be executed today for the 1998 murder of reporter Felicia Gale. California is the latest state to require schools to limit or ban the use of smartphones. Governor Gavin Newsom signed the law on Monday. As research shows, excessive use of the devices can hinder learning and increase the risk of mental illness. Over a dozen other states have passed similar rules this year. And remember Kmart? The last full-size Kmart store in the country is closing its doors. The Kmart in Bridgehampton, New York will shut for good on October 20th. A smaller Kmart store in Miami still stands. There were about 2,300 locations in the U.S. at its height.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox extended their win streak to 3 games after topping the Toronto Blue Jays 4-1. 3-game series continues in Canada tonight. And the Patriots adding depth to the offensive line. New England signing offensive tackle Jalen McKenzie to the practice squad. He entered the NFL as a rookie free agent with the Tennessee Titans a couple of years ago. Pats visit the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. Continued onshore winds will keep the cloudiness in place this morning. Temperature in the upper 50s, mid-60s this afternoon with a northeasterly breeze. Mostly cloudy skies, mostly cloudy overnight. Mid-50s, mid-60s once again tomorrow. Slight chance for some showers tomorrow overnight into Thursday. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
nothing else to do. Oats in color. Your hair is brown. Your eyes are hazel. And soft as clouds. I often kiss you when there's no one else around.
So, I don't know that song's appropriate to play anymore. And I don't think it's just the cultural appropriation of turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. It's what the song actually means that might make it. Phil's kind of giving me that look. Are you familiar with the song, Phil? Do you know the Vapors?
I'm familiar with the song. I haven't heard it in years. And I could guess, but I don't want to be wrong.
In terms of the actual meaning, yeah, don't guess. This is a family show.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, this could go south quick.
Remember that guy that had that certain face in Office Space?
Yeah.
Yeah, that face.
Okay.
Turning Japanese. Get it?
Okay,
see?
I think I get it now.
You make that, yeah. So, anyway, see, that's the kind of cultural education you get here on the Tim Weisberg Show. Each and every morning.
And it's only 6:36.
That's, I thought about that. I was like, is this an appropriate joke to make now or should I make it later? And I figured, you know, the kids might be listening, you know, an hour from now. Right now, they're still, their parents are fighting to get them out of bed.
That's so right. This is still adult. This is adult time, 6:30 in the morning.
It kind of is. Yeah. We can talk about turning Japanese. So, but yeah, it's also probably not a great song to play, but it's a great song to play. It's a fun song. Come on. It's just music. So, I was talking about the situation with the bulls and how, you know, in the old days we had animal shows and those were, I remember seeing an animal show outside of a Kmart to kind of combine what I was talking about with Phil's news report there. And I remember too, when there was at the Stop and Shop in Plymouth, the old Stop and Shop, which is now where the new Stop and Shop is, but that's where the old Stop and Shop was. When it was, anyway, so they brought Jumbo the Elephant, which I don't think was the original Jumbo that P.T. Barnum owned, because, you know, that elephant probably died 100 years before. But the Jumbo that they had, they brought down to this event at the supermarket, and everybody was able to get a picture taken with Jumbo, and they were giving out coloring sheets for Jumbo, and they had a coloring contest, and I think the winner got to ride on top of her, and it was a really big deal. The animal show that I saw outside of a Kmart, a little less exciting. It was some horses and camels and stuff, but, you know, they would do these different stunts, these different events to get people to come out and shop. You know, they'd have a big special sale going on, and they would do these gimmicks to get people to come down. And Kmart was pretty good at those gimmicks back in the day. But I actually kind of miss Kmart. There's still, how long ago did Kmart close in Fairhaven? But there's still days where I'm looking for something. I'm like, oh, I should go over and check Kmart. Oh, right. It isn't there anymore. And it still hasn't sunk in. Sometimes I still think that I want to go to Benny's and get something. Oh, right. It's not there anymore. But Kmart always had, you know, it was the place I could count on to have something I couldn't find anywhere else, because people weren't going to Kmart like they used to. You know, you used to get razzed if you bought your clothes at Kmart, but Kmart had some decent clothes, especially toward the end of its run. I think it got a bad rap. If you lived on the Cape as a kid, as I did for about 3 years, like, you, there was no Walmart. So where were you going to buy your clothes? You could go to the mall, but my family couldn't afford mall prices, so we bought clothes at Kmart. And then before that, Bradley's and Zaire. That's where we did the back-to-school shopping. Mostly Zaire. But there was the occasional trip to Bradley's. especially when we lived in Plymouth, because this is before the mall was there in Kingston. So we could shop at Rich's, which was right next to where we lived. Or we could shop at Bradley's, which was on the other side of town. We had a Benny's too, but, you know, you can only buy certain things there. So I always thought that those places got a bad rap. I mean, was I buying Varney and Bugle Boy and what else were kids wearing back in those days? Benetton? Was I buying all that stuff at Kmart, Zaire, Bradley's, Ames? No. But I still had clothes to wear to school every day. And then my grandmother, every year before school started, she would either pick me up at my house or have me sleep over her house for a couple of days, and we would go out and do some other shopping. She would get me stuff that, you know, because my mom and dad had to buy for 5 kids. So she tried to do where she could. She would help. So she'd bring me out to help me pick out some things that, you know, maybe were just a little bit nicer. But she knew where to shop for bargains. And then she would take me. She'd say, you know what? You want to get a couple of nice shirts with, you know, name brands on them? Well, we're going to save money on the other end, and you're going to wear irregulars for underwear and socks. And that's how she balanced it out, but it worked. But yeah, I miss Kmart. I would shop at a Kmart if it came back. And I guess maybe, right? We thought Toys R Us wouldn't come back, and now it's coming back as a boutique store. So I guess anything's possible, especially where now they want to get people to go to places to shop as an experience that you can't get from shopping online. And Kmart had that. It was one of the few places left that had that experience where you could go and you could get yourself an icy. You could get popcorn and walk around the store. They had the snack bar still. Wasn't as good as a Woolworth, but it was still pretty good. The icy was a nice treat if you were out shopping. Nowadays, I think people just, you know, buy something at Walmart and rip it open while they're still walking around the store. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails, and the WBSM app. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in. That is Sparks, and I used to use that song as an alarm on my phone because, you know, you're kind of still asleep a little bit, and you're in a nice kind of semi-fugue state, and then you start hear the beginning, and like, oh, I think I might still be dreaming. And then you have a couple of seconds there to kind of open up your eyes before that comes in. And then that makes sure that you definitely get up and reach over and turn the alarm off. So it kind of worked pretty good. It's funny because I never have my phone on any kind of, like, it's always on silent. Not even vibrate, just total silence. Except for occasionally I will have the ringer on if I'm expecting a call, or if I'm somewhere where, you know, I need to be alerted if the phone rings. And so I was at the horror convention over the weekend, and I was already getting, you know, compliments on my Creature Double Feature shirt. And being the nerd that I am, I had to keep asking everybody, well, but do you know what's not accurate about my Creature Double Feature shirt? You know what's not accurate about this shirt? It has Frankenstein on it. And Channel 56 didn't have the Universal package. That was Channel 38. 56 had the monsters, the Godzilla films. But anyway, so I was already getting compliments on that. But then I'm sitting at my table and my phone rang, and I had it on, you know, the ringer on so that I could hear it if the call came in. And I totally forgot that my ringtone is the In Search Of theme. And so somebody who was walking by was like, "What's playing that In Search Of music?" And I was like, "You know that show? Of course. Watched every episode." So we had like a nice 10-minute conversation about In Search Of. And if you've never seen that show, you can find it on the internet. But that's probably one of the things that got me interested in the paranormal as a kid, was seeing, you know, and I don't even know where they were running reruns on that when I was real young. I know later on they ran them on A&E when I was in high school every evening. A&E used to have like a great nighttime lineup. They had the Best of David Letterman, and you could watch these old 10-year-old episodes of David Letterman. And then they had In Search Of. And In Search Of was hosted by Leonard Nimoy, and it explored the strange and the unusual. Years ago, actually, I think it was during the pandemic when everybody was looking for content to watch at home, I was able to find them all on the internet, illegally download them all, and kind of rewatch them all. Then they brought it back with Zachary Quinto, who played Spock in the new Star Trek movie. So you had, you know, Leonard Nimoy in the original and Quinto in the new one. And I don't know, it just didn't feel the same to me. That original 70s In Search Of made you believe that there was genuine weirdness in the world. And so that was a huge influence on me, and you can still find them. They're on YouTube, I know that. Speaking of weirdness, well, I guess they're not too weird now. They're becoming more common. But the spotted lanternfly has pretty much made its way up the East Coast. I was in Gettysburg back in July, and they had a swarm of spotted lanternflies that was outside the parking lot of the convention center where we were having this. They had some food trucks, and everybody had to go inside because a whole bunch of spotted lanternflies came and were like landing on everything. And so they closed the food truck windows so that they wouldn't get in the food trucks. And they don't bother people, but they are very invasive. They will eat all the vegetation. They will eat trees in the forest, grape plants, apple, cherry, and peach trees. But the biggest problem with them is that they can come in big swarms and they'll cover things. And so in Connecticut, the people at the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station in New Haven, which had been asking people to report if they saw a spotted lanternfly, have said, "Well, there's no need to tell us anymore if you see a spotted lanternfly. They're everywhere. We don't need you to report them anymore. If you see them, just kill them." And really, how often do you have any kind of expert telling you to kill something? Obviously, the agricultural experimentation station, they're looking to protect the vegetation. But they're telling people, just if you see one, kill it. And there are people who say, "Well, but I have a hard time killing them because they are pretty nice to look at. But they are so invasive and dangerous." So if you see a spotted lanternfly, I guess you can kill it if you want to. You can also leave it alone. But if you see a whole bunch of them, well, then you might want to do something about it, or else you're going to lose the trees around your home. 508-996-0500. If you're not sure what a spotted lanternfly looks like, you can just Google it. We've written a whole bunch of stories about them over the years at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app as they were kind of working their way here. But As the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station said, they're here now, and they're just part of life here. So now it becomes more about prevention than observation and reporting. All right, I'm going to take my final break of this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. Hopefully no spotted lantern flies come in and take over the studio while I'm in this break. Lantern flies heard me, and they have taken over the studio and the playlist. They wanted to play Sugar Ray. They said, play that song. It's about us. I'm like, it's not about you. But they said they didn't care. They have taken over. They're now in control. They are running the program. So anything that happens from now on, blame it on the spotted lantern flies. All because you wouldn't step on them because, oh, they're too pretty. So now they've invaded the WBSM studio. They're now moving on. They're eating the $30,000 that we were going to give away. I will try to stop them and save as much of the money as I can. But...
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.